morning, family. It's Pearl Coupe again, and we are having our weekly program once again. And I'm so blessed to be sharing the Word of God, which, you know, repositions us, which aligns us for kingdom mandate and kingdom purpose. And today, I felt led to share with you about positioning and repositioning. Many times in our lives, we will find that we've been walking a journey, and God will come into our lives to reposition us. Sometimes we're slightly out of alignment, or we're not completely 100% aligned to our full kingdom mandate. And I want to talk today about being positioned for a mandate, a new mandate, when God comes into our lives in a season to reposition us for a new mandate, for a new season of our lives. And today I'm going to be talking in particular about two people. We're going to go into a case study and look at two people's lives who were repositioned quite radically. You know, sometimes we're repositioned or positioned just gently in terms of process. And then sometimes there can become a shift, such a great shift in a season that greatly repositions us for the full mandate of what God wants us to do in our lives. And so I'm going to be talking about two people. I'm going to be talking about Mary, the Virgin Mary. And I'm going to be talking also about Isaac, two people who were repositioned for kingdom mandate. So starting first of all with Mary, let's go into the account of Mary, where we find that in Luke 1. And we're going to start reading specifically from Luke 1, 26 to find out what happened to Mary and how was this simple virgin girl, age 16, how was she radically shifted and repositioned to fulfill kingdom purpose, which actually left a huge legacy behind that all of us have benefited from. So let's read from Luke 1, verse 26. And the Word of God says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Praise the Lord. So reading this scripture, like I said, we find here's a simple young girl. You know, the scholarly accounts have her age at the age of 16. She was young. She was a virgin. She was engaged, betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph. Simple young lady, but very radically, within a moment, her destiny was changed from living an ordinary life of an engaged young girl, to that of now becoming an extraordinary life. And that is the case for each and every one of us. The minute we connect to Yeshua and have a relationship with Yeshua, that is the beginning of an ordinary life being transformed into an extraordinary life. Your life will never be the same once you have connected to Yeshua in relationship, once you are in an intimate relationship with him, once you hear him, you obey him, you imitate him, all of those. Your life is immediately, radically, supernaturally transformed. I will never forget my own radical transformation as a young girl a very young girl in my early 20s, 1983, that's 37 years ago. You know, I was still a law student in my early 20s. Radical change, radically changed from being a young girl who loved to go to parties. I loved to be popular amongst people. I loved to trend in fashion and, you know, trend in dances, all of that. I was the little celebrity amongst my peers. And loved all of that. And then one day coming home from a party, a night of drinking and partying and dancing, I radically met Yeshua, radically met Jesus. And he came to me in a dream and spoke to me in the middle of my sleep and just began to speak to me and tell me how he needed to be in relationship with me. And if I didn't give my life to him, that the enemy was going to be sure to kill me. Because of what God wanted to do in my life and through my life. So there was a radical transformation from ordinary life to extraordinary life. That's what happens to us. And this is what happened to Mary. She was being repositioned for a new mandate. The minute you enter into a relationship with God, it's not just so that you can sing hymns for the rest of your life and then wait to be, you know, for your journey to end and your race to end. We are being radically transformed and repositioned so that before we leave this earth, we can take on a new mandate. Mary was given a new mandate. And for her new destiny to be accomplished, she now needed to be repositioned. And I want to talk to us about a few things. It required a new environment. A new environment had to take place for her to be repositioned. She had to be separated from Joseph for a season. And I want to ask you right now, what are those things? You know, when God gives us such heavy mandates that contain kingdom purpose in it, it may require that you be separated from certain things and from certain people. I know after I was saved, I could not just be going around with the same group of people that I went around. These were people who would always want to take me to parties, who would always want me to be drinking. And so I had to separate myself from them, because I knew that if I moved with them, I would be lured and drawn back into that party life, into that life of drinking. So I want you to pause for a moment and think, are there any things that you need to separate yourself from? Are there things that you've been watching on television, whether some type of programs that are not edifying, that do not focus you on Yeshua? Are there things that you need to separate yourself from so that you can be aligned and repositioned for your new mandate? Are there even people that you may need to separate yourself from so you can be properly positioned for the new mandate, so you can think on what is pure, what is honest, what is lovely, what is of good report? Are there things that are interfering with your ability to think on those things? So as we are talking and preparing ourselves to be repositioned, remember that a new environment is required. And Mary had to separate herself from Joseph for a season. Some separation may just be for a season so that there's not defilement in you. There was a seed that was being brought into Mary that could not be interfered with, that could not be hindered. Sometimes God will separate us for a season. Even in this lockdown, maybe some of us are being separated for a season for God to enable God to prepare us for when we come out, for a season of quiet time, a season of being with him, a season of being in the word, a season of being prayerful and having time to worship him more, so that we can be prepared to run with the kingdom mandate when we emerge from lockdown period. So that separation can be for a season. Sometimes the separation, God may just say, I do not want you to move with these people anymore. It could be a separation that is a longer term or even permanent separation. So pray and say, Lord, as you are positioning me for my new levels and new mandate, what is it that you require me to be separated from? And if there are any people who you know that in terms of connecting with them, God said to Solomon, do not marry foreign women because they will take your heart away from me. Sometimes God will separate us from some people because there's an unequal yoking, because there's a difference in values. And God knows that when you spend time with them, the Bible says, he that walks with the wise shall be wise. He that is the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So God knows if you spend a lot of time continuously in that company, because bad company corrupts one's character, God knows that they may end up drawing your heart away from him. And so sometimes we may need to separate, pause, take a Selah moment, pause, meditate, and ask God, are there things, are there people that you would want me to separate from, either for a season or for quite some time or even permanently? And the separation, because this is what the Lord said, when Mary now asked and queried, how shall this be? How will it happen? The response was that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And many times there are things which are interfering with our ability to connect to God in a more intimate fashion, interfering with because remember that light and darkness do not fellowship, have no fellowship with one another. So sometimes the separation is to allow greater levels of intimacy with you and God so that Holy Spirit may overshadow you. So that's my prayer for you right now, is that as God is repositioning us, each and every one of us, for new mandates, to take on new mantles and new purposes and new kingdom assignments, may God show you what you need to separate, what you need to be separated from, whether it's for a season or whether for its longer period. May God show you whatever people you may need to be separated from and whatever things and activities perhaps you may need to be separated from. So during this time, when God is speaking to us and wanting to reposition to us, be very alert, be very receptive, be open to hear what God is saying. And our speech, when God wants to reposition us, Mary didn't speak too much. She asked two questions. One question was, how shall it be? And the response was, Holy Spirit will come upon you. And her next answer, which should be our answer, was, let it be unto me according to thy word. So when God wants to reposition you, yes, you know, you can ask one or two questions, how shall it be? But don't get into a place where you become argumentative or debating. You know, I am an attorney by profession, and we love to debate as attorneys. But early on in my born again life, I learned not to debate a lot, you know, not to try and debate and argue with God, but just to ask one or two questions, how shall it be? And as he begins to direct me, then my next conversation with God should be, you know, let it be unto me according to your word. In other words, if we decode that, that simply means thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life. And that should be the prayer of our heart. And that should be the condition of our heart, a submissive heart that always says, thy will be done in my life. Let it be done unto me according to thy word, according to thy will, O God. That should be the position that we relate to God in, always in submission, knowing that his will is best for our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. The sooner we can line up with his will and the sooner we can line up with his word, the better it will be for us, and the greater it will be for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the second person I want to talk to us, because we've already reached halftime, I said we wanted to talk about two people, and it was going to be Mary. And the second person I want to talk about, who was also repositioned, that we can get lessons learned. In fact, if you study every Bible character, you will find out that every Bible character was repositioned at one point. You look at Esther. Esther was repositioned from being an orphan girl and moved into the palace. You look at the story of Joseph. Many, many repositionings in his life. He was repositioned from his home, where he had to move out of his home and move to a foreign land, into Egypt. But God wasn't moving him there to be punished. God was moving him into a powerful position of leadership, repositioned from his land of birth into a place of governmental positioning and leadership. So whoever you look at, Esther, anybody you look at, there was a time of repositioning. And we need to expect this, not even just once. You won't be positioned once. We will be repositioned many times over, because in our lives, there are many, many seasons where God wants us to take on new mandates, new assignments. And so there will always be times of repositioning, and we must always be very careful to listen intently and to hear God when he says he's repositioning us, so we can be pliant and flexible and allow ourselves to be repositioned to where God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. May that be your portion, that you will be ready to be repositioned when God says it's time to move, and your response to him will not be an argumentative one or one of debating, but it will be like Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." So Isaac was also repositioned. And if we read the account, which is in Genesis 26, we read a whole account where Isaac was now, you know, in the same fashion as his father. He's somebody who was wealthy. He became wealthy even during a time of famine. You read that whole account. And I want you to be prayerful. Let that be your prayer point. In this time of lockdown, it's a time of famine. The financial experts have talked about recession, an economic recession, which is an economic famine. But Isaac was able to prosper during a time of famine. Let that be your portion. That has been my prayer. That's what I've been praying, and God has been faithful. You know, even though I've not earned any income or anything, God has been faithful, and to be sending ravens to feed me, and we've not run out of food, we've not run out of money to pay our bills. We've just seen supernatural intervention because I've prayed that prayer to say, Lord, Father, I thank you that even in this time of recession, Lord, let me still be able to prosper and to see your goodness, the goodness of the Lord, even during a time of famine. Pray that will be your portion, that even in a time that is being called by the world as a time of economic famine, ask God that, Father, I will not experience famine, but let me be like Isaac, and let me experience a time of plenty and a time of prosperity, even during a time of famine. And so this is the account where Isaac was digging wells. We know the account very well. Go and read the whole of Genesis 26, and you'll see that Isaac was digging wells. And each time he was being repositioned, there's a time where he was repositioned. I'm going to read from Genesis 17. We're in Genesis 26, remember? So Genesis 26, and I'm reading from verses 17 up to the end of verse 22. So from 17 to 22. And let's look at some aspects where Isaac was being repositioned and how he responded to the repositioning, because we can learn some lessons from this account as well. So from verse 17, Genesis 26, 17, it says, "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Verse 19. "Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there." Verse 20. "But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see a scenario where Isaac had moved. He had pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. He dwelt there and he was digging the wells of water. And it says, very interesting to me right there, that it says that he was digging the wells of the water, and he was digging them in the days of Abraham, his father. And now there's something very important that scripture tells us there. It says he called the wells by the same names that his father had called them, So the first thing I want to say to you is that sometimes it is a struggle for us to be repositioned. God wants to reposition us. God wants to position us for a mandate, new kingdom assignments. But we are busy digging wells, in the same manner as our father. So we dig wells traditionally in the same way. We're not hearing God in terms of how are we supposed to dig those wells. God has a specific mandate. God has a specific assignment for you. But we're too busy trying to emulate our mother, our father. This is the way my mother did it. This is the way my father did it. So busy trying to emulate them and following tradition, the tradition of man. So one of the things I want to just warn you about is don't allow the traditions of men to stop you from hearing God around where he wants to position you. Yes, God may have dealt with your mother in a specific way. Yes, God may have shown your father how to deal with something and how to do something in a certain way. And yes, God places our father, our mothers, people, our mentors in our lives so that we can, you know, learn from them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do everything in the same way that they did. We do not necessarily have the same assignment. We learn from them without becoming photocopies of them. And so be careful of becoming a photocopy after tradition, but be open to hearing, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? My gifts may be completely different from the gifts that God gave my mother or my father. And make sure that the gifts that God gave you are utilized for the specific assignment that God has given you. Trying to name wells in the same way that his father had named them got Isaac stuck. So there was quarrels. You know, he called the wells Sitna and Esek. And if you study the meaning of those words, one of the words means enmity. Enmity, and one means contention. So he was naming wells by the names that the father had called them, and they were bringing contention and they were bringing enmity and hostility, because names are prophetic also. So it wasn't until God moved him and repositioned, and he moved from there, and now he moved into a place of Rehoboth. And the word Rehoboth, if you study that, means room, more room, extra space. And so we sometimes need to move away from tradition. Some of the tradition may not necessarily be tradition, that relates to your mom and dad, but some cultural traditions. Do you know that, you know, some of our so-called tribal traditions that we do and follow, and we don't even know why we follow these tribal traditions. Maybe you're Yoruba, maybe you're Igbo. Maybe if you're from Zimbabwe, you could be Shona, or you could be Ndebele, or, you know, in South Africa, there are 11 tribes here, Swati, Tswana, Sotho, Pedi, Tsonga, Venda, all of those. You could be one of those tribes and you're following that tradition instead of following the kingdom tradition. So don't allow following of man's tradition and earthly culture and worldly culture to hinder you from being repositioned by God into your kingdom assignment. It's very important to hear God's voice. It's very important to be alert to hearing where God wants to take you. It's very important to obeying where God wants to take you and saying, like Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word, according to your will. So let's be open to be repositioned, and let's not let man's cultures, the traditions of man and the worldly traditions. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may perform the good and acceptable will of God. So when you conform to worldly traditions, you now become hindered from performing the acceptable will of God. Praise the Lord. So may God move us to that place of Rehoboth, that we can be repositioned. It's time to do things differently. Don't allow any worldly things to now hinder you from moving to your place of Rehoboth. And Rehoboth is a place of more room. And let me say this to you. When God repositions you, he will create room. And one of the ways he creates room is he's already put gifts in you. And it's those gifts that make room. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men, not mean men, but before great men. So God has already deposited gifts in you, wired gifts and grace in you. And it is that gift that creates room for you and brings you to a place of more room, which is Rehoboth, meaning more room. More room. So tradition, some earthly traditions and worldly traditions may shut down that gift, may not allow that gift to operate in your life. So I'm going to close in prayer. And my prayer for you is that as God is repositioning every one of us, every season, there are seasons for reposition. My prayer is that may you be open to being repositioned. May you be open to be repositioned in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you will not allow the tradition of man. You will not allow anything to hinder your repositioning. And my prayer for you is that you will be open to hearing what God says. Don't allow your thoughts to be clouded by the voices of men. You know, some things that the Bible says, there's a way that may seem right unto a man, but its way, that's in Proverbs, its way leads unto death. Don't be clouded by what looks. There's some things that look to be right, but in actual fact, they're taking you away from your place of Rehoboth. They're taking you away from your place of assignment. And if you read that whole account in Genesis 26, it was such a place of enlargement and more room. The Bible actually tells us, if you read from verse 26 to 30, it says that Isaac was so well positioned that, you know, even his previous enemies who'd been trying to disturb him, to fill the wells with dirt and to block him, they were not able to do that when he moved into his place of Rehoboth. In fact, his enemies, the same enemies who were trying to block him, were the ones who now came to covenant with him and say, hey, we see the favor of God. There's a favor of God upon you in your life. And we want a part of this. We want to connect with you. We want to enter into covenant with you because we know that this place where God has placed you in Rehoboth is a place of position. It's a place of favor. The favor of God is all over you. And so may God bring us into a place of Rehoboth. May you not allow worldly traditions. May you not allow the voices of man to disconnect you from your Rehoboth. May you hear God clearly in the same way that Mary was able to hear the angel and hear God's mandate for her. May you hear God clearly in terms of what God is saying for your life. And may you respond to God's word with obedience and say, let it be unto me according to your word, that you will be positioned for kingdom mandate. You will be positioned for kingdom purpose. You will be positioned for kingdom agenda in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That is my prayer for you as we go on. Be open to hearing God's voice. Be open to being repositioned. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't be argumentative. Don't debate, but just say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me to wherever you want me to go. It may not be the place of popularity. It may not be a place where we're getting accolades, but it let it be a place of obedience where you are fulfilling the full mandate of the kingdom of God. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I thank God for you. And may God just cause you to reflect and meditate on this word and be open to fulfilling his mandate in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. God bless you. Lots of love.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Join us on our Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network International with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. Here is the voice of destiny, empowering you for your destiny. Listen to this. as we continue on our weekly program. Thank you. And we discuss kingdom matters. God bless you.
It's good to see you, Eva, and my brother, Yaron. We love you. Thank you for coming here today. And just give a big hand to my friends, will you? Eva and Yaron know very well we are in partnership. We have got a case we need to deal with. And that case is against the devil. And we won't stop halfway. We are not a giving up time. If there is anything that is troubling you right now in your life, I want you to know, keep believing. It's the words that were mentioned by Jesus Christ when they were going to Jairus' house. The daughter was sick. And it's a very, very interesting scripture in Mark chapter 5. It says, when they were going there, then there was an interference along the way. Somebody who stopped the traffic flow. And this person was not a vehicle, it was a woman. A woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She said she was going to take advantage of where the traffic was going. And she said, Jesus, before you reach Jairus' house, I want you to think of me. And she touched the garment of Jesus Christ. And when she touched the hem of his garment, what was of 12 years, that could not be cured by doctors and specialists and medication, she got a healing that day. And why if Jesus Christ has been interfered by this woman, the people that were coming from Jairus' house come to Jairus and say, don't trouble the master anymore because your daughter is no longer there. She's now dead. But Jesus says something to Jairus. Keep believing. The other versions, NIV says, ignore them. Keep believing. Sometimes you've got situations that are sickly. But sometimes it gets worse. They move from getting sick and they die. But Jesus' word will never change. Keep believing. Amen. For some of you right now that have got those situations, that seems to be hopeless and you don't seem to be knowing what God is doing. Keep believing. Amen. Because all things are possible to those that believe God. Amen. Somebody shout, I believe.
I believe.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thank you for being here today. I'm not going to go preaching on you today, but I want to give you four important points that I believe can help you as you walk with God in your life, so that day by day you can understand that victory is yours. It doesn't matter what you see and it doesn't matter how you feel. If God is on your side, nobody can be against you. Sister Aline, we want to thank you so much. Mama T, as they call you. We thank you for being here today once again. We know you are now doing fly in and fly out. Who's here? Where are you, Kara? Where is she? Kara, thank you for being here today. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you. God bless you. Is anybody else that has been left out for whatever reason? I saw Casey. It's wonderful to see you here with your beloved men there. I saw you were smooching one another there in church. And I said, Do you think this is honeymoon time? It's wonderful to see you look. Okay? Keep believing. Okay? Keep believing. God has got great things for your life.
Amen.
Okay? And my very person, Venda.
Yes.
Wonderful to see you here. Shelly was missing you. She said to me, where is Venda? What happened to Venda? Because when Venda comes, she brings me people that I need to be prayed for. Because I hate the devil. I hate him with all my guts. And he knows that.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah. I want you to take this on. This is a take-home point that I want you to get as you go right now. I don't even know what's the title of my message, but if somewhere there, if you can write, God is a creator, the devil is a counterfeit.
Yeah. Amen.
Get that in your spirit, because it's important that you get that. God is a creator, but the devil is a counterfeit. So in every time in your life, it's important for you to know that God creates, but the devil always, he comes in and he brings counterfeits. Genesis chapter 1, you'll find out that in all the creative realities of God, chapter 1 verse 4, what God created, he ended up saying, this is good. Genesis 1 and verse 10. God created, and what he created, he said, this is good. Genesis 1 and verse 12, God created what he created, and he said, this is good. Genesis 1 and verse 18, what God created, And God said, this is good. Verse 20, 21, what God created, he ended up saying, this is good. Join me. In verse 25, what God created, he ended up saying,
this is good.
Verse 31, what God created, he ended up saying,
this is good.
Which means God is a giver of good things.
Amen.
And because God is a giver of good things, always understand whatever comes and interferes between you and the good things that God has created comes from the enemy.
Amen.
Here's another good thing that God did. Genesis 1 and verse 26. He said something there that's very, very important. 1 and verse 26. Let's go there with me. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And let's see what God says. I'm going to give you three points that are very important. I'm going to read for us chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God is the creator. Say that with me.
God is the creator.
Now, in his creation, he says, let us make man in our image. You become that which you behold. That is why every morning, when you begin to speak the word of God, and you stand by the word of God, what you behold, you become. You become what you behold every morning. When you wake up in the morning and you speak louder your depression, you speak louder your anxiety, you walk in anxiety that day. You become what you behold. Because the Bible is the mirror. And therefore when you look in the Word, you see yourself. You see yourself with your impurities. You see yourself with your flaws. But the Word of God corrects that. You're with me?
Yeah.
So when we say to you, stay in the Word, read the Word, it's not a church thing. It is because it is the only book that works. Even the demons know that. Those who work with me in deliverance, they know. If I want to provoke them, that's what I use. I can tell you, no matter where they are hiding, once I go, they rise up. Because they know this is the sword.
Amen.
It works. Every time. You can trust it. You can work on it. So I want you to understand, because God is the creator, he said, let us make man in our image. So image does not come from the world around you. Image does not come from the TV. Image does not come from the stars that we love and emulate. Image comes from God. That is why, once again, when we deal with the deliverance, we take you back to your father. The first question we ask, we want to know what was your relationship with your father. Because fathers are the first to validate. They carry the zera, which is the seed. They are seed givers.
Amen.
So fathers validate their children. And where there is no validation that comes from a father, problems therefore emanate. So God created man. The first thing he gave to man was an image. And I love that. Your identity, therefore, does not come from anything else, but it comes from the one who created you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
When God gives you an identity, you know who you are, and therefore in that identity there is your purpose and that which God has made for you. So I want you to realize that in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, the second thing that I wanted to understand, then number one, God gives you an identity because God is the creator of your identity. But I wanted to see number two, the devil is a counterfeit to that. He brings in counterfeit words. In chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, let's see what it says in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Remember, when God created man, he gave him an identity. And it's important for you to know that in chapter 1 verse 26, he created them both male and female. I don't know why we get confused. He created them both male and female. It has always been clear according to God. I do not know why we are confusing ourselves. Because the creator who gives you an identity, he gave both males an identity and females an identity. And if God gave identity, to both males and females. Who is supposed to walk in authority? It's both males and females. Males are not created to dominate women. Males and females were given authority. And the same authority. And it's important, therefore, that you and I understand that. Genesis 1, verse 26, my identity comes from my Creator, from my Father. And God gave me that identity. But when the devil comes in, he comes in as a counterfeit to that. And listen to what he says there. The Bible says, he says, has God indeed said? You should always watch questions that come like that in your life. Because when the enemy wants to mislead you, you hear the type of questions that you hear. Show me in the Bible where it says to stay together outside marriage is sin. You can tell. The questions that you get from people, you can just tell that those questions are not questions that are coming from the one that created you.
Yeah.
Because the one that created you, he created them male and female.
Yeah.
And they got married in the Garden of Eden. God became the first marriage officer in the garden. And he became the first father handing the bride.
Amen.
And he married them. And when he married them, they became husband and wife. And I want you to watch this. When the devil comes in, he comes in with questions. And the counterfeit that the enemy brings over our lives, he begins to say to them, has God said this? In chapter 1, God gave them all trees. Except one. That's grace. God, grace gives you all things except one. But when the enemy comes in, he uses that one. It's like me saying to you, come into my house. Here's the fridge. I open the fridge here for you. There's Coke, there's Fanta, there's what, there's lemonade, and there's this. But don't touch that box there, because in that bottle there is drink bleach. Don't touch that. And you go for bleach. Because the human conditioning always want to question the very same thing that they are asked not to touch. And it's important in your growing as a child of God right now to understand God is the giver of my identity. That's number one. The devil brings in counterfeit in between. And when he brings as a counterfeit, he says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Listen to the answer in verse 2. That's what the Bible says there. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden and... but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Listen to verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And the devil says to improve the serpent, for God knows, in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the Bible says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves some coverings. God is the creator of your identity, but the devil brings counterfeit. And I want you to understand what made Adam and Eve to fail in the garden. It's one word. I call it the mother of all sins. Discontentment. Say that with me. Discontentment. Discontentment is the mother of all evils. Because the truth is, the fact that they were not content with all that God had given them, except that one, made them to fall. Check it your life. When you become discontent with your wife, adultery is on the door. Or pornography is knocking. Because where there is discontentment is a doorway for drugs. Whenever you are discontent in your life right now and say, I'm not happy. When you are discontent with where you are right now, discontentment is the mother of all evil. They were given all trees but one. And the devil says, God knows if you eat this one that he doesn't want, you'll be like God.
Yes.
Were they not like God? They were like God. But if the enemy whispers enough in your ears and you become discontent with where you are, you will end up doing stuff that you don't want to do. Talk to me.
Yeah.
The first drug you took and the first bottle you took, they told you, oh, you know, just one glass for you to relax. Are you relaxing? Or realize that you're not relaxing? That's true. Because alcohol may pacify, but does not satisfy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right now I can tell you, if I say to you, the joy of the Lord is your strength, you take it, you will live in joy. You don't take it, you'll find joy and false happiness somewhere. Because whenever there is discontent, whenever you are discontent with your life, it's an open door for the demons. Remember, I told you last time, demons don't jump from one person to another.
That's good.
They wait for you to be discontent. I'm bored. Isn't it? That's what I'm saying. He created them male and female and gave them their roles and gave them dominion. So if you are changing the order of the one who gave you identity and you begin to think now that, no, I am tired as a man to be with a wife. What's going there? Discontentment. Whenever there is discontentment, you change the creative order. And you then move according to what you think, this is what I like. And I'm aware that there are people that have got disorders, that have got issues, that went through trauma in their upbringing. But I'm talking about generally, you find out every idea behind sodomy and homosexuality, it has its roots in discontentment. I was hurt by the woman I was living with. Now I want to try an alternative lifestyle. Discontentment. Where are you with your life? Whenever there is no contentment in your life, that's a doorway for the demons.
Wow. That's good.
I know. Only that guy that can be very controversial, but that's the truth. It's the truth. You check around every behavior that you see, even over your children, over your life. People don't just come out and say, I'm now watching pornography. No, it started somewhere.
Yeah.
You are not satisfied with what you have?
Yeah.
The enemy always gives you something. So I say to you, number one, God is the giver and is the creator of your identity.
Yeah.
Number two, the devil is a counterfeit, which means
God
and the devil, both of them seek to define for you yourself. So it is important that you understand that if you choose God, God will define your identity and walk with you. But the devil corrupts your identity and he gives you false promises. So I often say, therefore, to God's people, how shall we help Adam and Eve after they were discontent and they ate of that fruit? And they realized their eyes were opened, but then it opened up a plethora of different kind of things around their lives. So I say to people, number three, I wanted to write this down. Every person who believes that their identity comes from God, who believes that God's desire is for them to know who they are and their purpose in walking with Him, they should get this in their mind very clearly. Should always know what is my forbidden fruit. Your inability to know your forbidden fruit can lead you in the pathway that you never thought you would go. What is your forbidden fruit? I know mine. Do you know yours? Do you know? What is it that you know that, if I go by there, I'm not coming back? If I open this, I'm not coming back.
That's good.
Know your forbidden fruit. There are people that know that this thing has a hold on them, that you just leave them alone. Loneliness creates different kind of things around them. You were doing well. You prophesied in church this morning. What happened by 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Know your forbidden fruit. Because if you know your forbidden fruit, you will not live your life beyond or below that which God has created for you. Samson, not knowing his forbidden fruit, found himself in the clutches of the Philistines. What is your forbidden fruit? If you know that thing that when it comes upon you, you can't live victoriously as a child of God, every day of your life, mark it and say to yourself, I will not live in the zones that I know that when I go there, right there, I'm not going to come back. So daily in my life, when I wake up, I say, Lord, I know who I am because my identity comes from you. Two, Lord, today I still know my forbidden fruit. When I go out there in the world, I know the enemy will bring counterfeits for me. But let me always be aware of my forbidden fruit.
That's good.
For others, we can't deal with money. Once money is in your hands, you go crazy. What is your forbidden fruit? What is it that when it has its hold on you, you forget about God, you forget about Christianity? I believe the desire of us walking with God is want to make sure anything that will make you discontent, it must be removed. Identity is where all things begin. I want to close with this. Jesus came to restore your identity. The identity that was given by God in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis was the identity that was stolen by the enemy away from you. He introduced the counterfeit in your life. But when Jesus comes in Luke chapter 3, I want you to see that one with me. Luke chapter 3, Jesus came to restore your identity. Listen to how he answers the enemy there. Luke chapter 3, let's see verse 21 in Onge. Luke 3 and verse 21. How do we restore our identity? The Bible says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. In salvation, when you come to Jesus Christ and become a child of God, that's the first thing that I want you to understand. What was closed opens up for you. The heavens opened. Because when you are a sinner, when you are living in sin, heavens are closed. That's an etymology for you to understand. The moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart, heavens are open. You're with me?
That's good.
The Bible says, Jesus Christ, he came to restore the lost identity. Listen to this. While he prayed, the heavens were opened, which means every prayer that you pray as a born-again child of God, it opens portals. It opens heavens. Somebody shout amen. Say this with me. I live under an open heaven. That's important for you to get that. And verse 22, what does it say? Okay. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, because it's not enough that you live on an open portal. It's not enough for you to live on an open heaven. It's important that you hear what comes from that open voice. And the Bible says, it says there, a voice came from heaven which said, remember I say to you, the devil always counterfeits. Because he is not a creator, so therefore he is an imitator. Amen. And because the devil imitates that which God has created, because he cannot create, see what happens? When you walk in darkness, portals are opened. When you walk in sin, you are opening up a portal for your life. It's not everything that you see in an open heaven is from God. When you walk in holiness, when you walk in righteousness, when you walk fearing God with your life, you are putting yourself in a place of advantage. That is why not everybody who is a Christian can cast out demons. It is a Christian who knows their identity and who knows their authority. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you can't walk in the authority that you don't know.
If you know your authority in God,
yeah.
So you pour, you allow yourself to be to receive what God gives on you.
Get that? Thank you so much once again for joining us. The voice of Apostle Josh Moyer from Western Australia, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, and our co-producer Kelapa Jade. We are discussing kingdom matters.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.